Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
What if I asked you to rewind your mind to 4 years ago, July 2021, where we witnessed a heightened level of looting and unrest that actually sent shockwaves into the world, but even impacted our livelihoods, our safety, our business organizations, and most importantly, to a certain extent, our coffers in South Africa. Despite some of those threats, though, we're well aware that during that looting and unrest, this is where Sasria, a state-owned company, an essentially key insurance provider, essentially bailed out and paid out 32 billion rand following those protest actions. Sasria since then has been putting in significant levels of effort and work to make sure that the organization is not only recapitalized, but also even better prepared for any threats of future unrest to the public. To tell us more about this, as well as an increase in improvement in their buffer and capital allocations, is the CEO of Sasria, Mpumi Chikwe. Dr. Chikwe, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hi, Sister Boo. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. We've got you loud and clear.
Thank you very much.
Always exciting to speak to you. And maybe before we even get into the conversation ahead regarding a 20 billion rand buffer that you've managed to improve on, 4 years on from the July looting and unrest, I'm aware that you came on a little later into the organization, but boy, oh boy, have we seen a turnaround just in terms of the sentiment regarding state-owned risk insurers like yourself.
Yes, look, we've managed to get the business into the right footing. But more importantly, Sis Gugu, what we're trying to do is to ensure that future losses, we do not need to tap into the taxpayer. Mm. So Sasria should be able to stand on its own and be able to meet its future liabilities out of the premiums that it gets from its policyholders. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been trying in the main to do. In going back 4 years, in fact, I always think it's like 3 years, but actually you are quite correct. It's 4 years, 4 years ago and so on. We find ourselves in that terrible situation where we had, as you correctly said, to pay 32 billion rand. In fact, the claim amount for that year, excluding the, including the July 2021 and the normal claims that we will handle during the year, was 35 billion rand. So that was a huge amount. We made a loss of close to 24 billion rand, and the state had to pump in 22 billion rand. So we've worked through that difficult stage, and now we are building a buffer to ensure that we never have to ask for the taxpayer to bail us out again. But for us to achieve that, again, we need to work with South Africans to make sure that when we protest, we do not get to those levels of losses.
100%. This is good news because essentially you won't need to go to the national coffers to ask for assistance, essentially being taxpayers' money. But help us contextualize how you've built this 20 billion rand buffer. Is this through reinsurance, increased premiums from customers, and perhaps heightened levels of volume as well regarding new clients on board? Where is this capital essentially coming from?
Yes. Look, you know, whenever you have to turn around a business, there's no one magic wonder. You have to do a couple of things for you to be able to do that. Amongst the things that we have done, the more important one, we did increase our premiums post July 2021. We increased them by on weighted average of 45%. That was 4 years ago. We are currently in the process of increasing our premiums again by another 25% or so. But you know, listeners should be aware that this is at the back of higher reinsurance costs. To reinsure South Africa, Sasria's premiums have gone up by 600%. So it's at the back of that. So we increased our premiums. Secondly, we asked other people to take some pain as well. So we used to pay our agent a 27.5% commission to assist us administer the business. Sasria works on an outsourced model. So we pay people to administer the policies and to sell the policies. We used to pay 27.5%. We reduced that to 22.5%. Also, on the Sasria side, from a you know, our own cost point of view, we are pegging them to be no more than 7% of our premiums. So we must always be operationally efficient. Historically, surgery, I used to operate at 12% of GWP. Now we've managed to bring that down to 7%. Mm-hmm. So that also helps in getting the business going.
And, you know, many of us might be listening to these increases and thinking, geez, this is significant, you know, double-digit increases in premiums. But in the greater context of things, we as clients and customers also need to be educated that what you do actually allocate to Sasria is significantly cheaper than the overall payment that you're making to your commercial insurance provider.
No, definitely, without doubt. I think South Africans should be aware of that. I mean, for instance, for a man in the street, the increases that we're making now, basically it means you pay an additional 5 rands per year, which is what you pay for parking generally, you know, in Johannesburg.
Parking
will cost you more for an hour than that. So it is relatively cheap and it is relatively affordable. But also more importantly, the other thing that we did, one of the findings of the three investigations that were done during the July 2021, all three of them, their main finding was the failure of the security cluster to respond to the situation. And so we fostered better relationships with the security cluster. As Sasria now, we collect enough information so that we know what's happening in each part of South Africa, and we are able to make the security system to be aware of what is going on around the country. Where are the protests? How are they being managed? For instance, we handled the elections quite well.
Yes.
There was not a single incident during our election year. In fact, our loss ratio during that year has been the best ever, because the security system just stepped up. Even though there were still high levels of protests, they didn't translate into damage, which gives me a lot of comfort, because South Africans are aware that now they can protest and not necessarily damage the infrastructure. But I must add quickly, though, that there are other concerns that we have as South Africans, and that's why we are doing these specific increases. I mean, normally the focus is around unrest.
Yes.
What people do not understand, sometimes we do pay for damages due to labor unrest as well. And we are, I mean, it's interesting from your previous guest, he spoke about the state of the economy, and then we'll hopefully get another interest rate cut.
Mm.
South Africans are under economic pressure. So we see that a lot. And we do need inclusive economic growth, significant economic growth, for us to be able to deal with some of these socio-economic ills that are currently facing our country.
Yeah. So critical that you mentioned, because there is an interlink. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, yeah. So the link I was trying to make is that even on the labor unrest side, we are seeing some losses coming through that particular area where people are unhappy with wage settlements. And then they end up banning, you know, the factories in which they work, which means now a lot of people lose their jobs completely. And yes, as far as they would pay. So we're seeing that. I mean, for instance, you'll have heard in the news today, Treasury is not going to pay about 5 or 6 municipalities in the Free State their grants because they are non-compliant. And we know that generally most municipalities in South Africa are dysfunctional, and they are relying on these grants to pay salaries. And, you know, the South African Municipal Workers Union has indicated that this is a potential for a dispute or for a strike because of the fact that you are not getting those flows. So we really do need to start fixing the municipalities in a significant way, such that we do not continue getting, these service delivery protests, and the employees there are happy and productive and efficient. And all it boils down to at the end is about the quality of leadership that you have running these various places.
Definitely. I think this is so fascinating to see just the shifts that you've put in place together with your team to make sure that the business is a lot more resilient, can withstand any further pressure, but is also working proactively to minimize that risk. And of course, important levels of improvement that we need in the leadership of municipalities as well. Bumi, before I let you go, not too long ago, we had witnessed significant levels of flooding within the Eastern Cape. And we spoke to a few of your industry colleagues within the Insurance Institute of South Africa. And we also aware that there have been ongoing calls from the likes of the World Bank to see Sasria heighten its focus on climate change, especially where it impacts lower income households in South Africa. Is this an area that Sasria is looking into? And, you know, what are the risks and dynamics that you need to consider within this new area?
Thanks for raising that. I mean, and we saw in the Eastern Cape, I mean, high levels of loss of life due to flooding. And yes, the World Bank, they did hire local consultants to assist them with this process, where they were looking at the resilience of municipalities and their preparedness to deal with flooding and the damage that flooding does to infrastructure within those particular municipalities. They have concluded their studies. They have submitted a report. And basically, one of their recommendations to Treasury, who is our shareholder representative, is that the mandate of Sasria needs to be expanded to go to ensure what we consider systematic risks where the private sector is not willing to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the process of engaging with the Treasury to see how we can now expand this particular mandate. I must say this is something that has been going on for the last I remember being part of these discussions in 2015, in 2016, when I was the CEO of Land Bank Insurance Company.
Yes.
So this is something that has been on the go for quite a while. And I think now there is a realization amongst the various stakeholders that we need to move in this area particularly quick. Mm-hmm. As you know, the floods are not just isolated to the Eastern Cape. KwaZulu-Natal, there the frequency is much higher than the Eastern Cape, and they are much, much more severe, so we need to respond. So I believe that that process to get Sasria to do this will take about 2 years, and we are working with my colleagues at the Land Bank because they've got a mandate to deal with agriculture, food security, and ensuring things like drought, and flooding as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working together to present a proposal to Treasury where we can find a situation where Sasria's mandate is expanded to include this particular cover.
100%. So refreshing to see the growth, the partnership, and of course, increased focus. It does take time, but as you've said, the focus is definitely there. Always a pleasure.
No, definitely.
Always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time and all the best to you and the team.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Sis Gugu. And good evening to your listeners as well.
Thank you. That is Mpumi Chikwe, the CEO of Sasria, joining us tonight to give us some insight as to how the state-owned company has managed to improve on capital adequacy, essentially building a 20 billion rand buffer, again, just to ensure that it can safeguard its finances in the event of any anticipated future unrest. Even that, they're also working with key partners, largely state security institutions, and I imagine intelligence, to make sure that they are aware and cognizant of any risks that exist in the market.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.